It is Monday, April 15th, 2024, at 8:07 p.m. Tonight I am talking once again to Mr. Anonymous. We hadn't spoken in a few weeks. Mr. Anonymous, welcome back to the podcast. I know that you are a big fan of the United Football League, whatnot, and they're currently in their third week of the season. I wanted to just pick your brain, see what you thought about the new UFL, you know, the alignments and everything, you know, who some of your favorite teams are, and maybe even predictions for the future. Go ahead.
Okay, sneeze break here for a sec. Okay, then. Okay,
take your time.
Anyways, so I guess my favorite teams, it's the Renegades, the Battlehawks, the Stallions, and the Showboats. So my predictions I know they're my favorite teams, but I'll put them there. But I think this year it's going to be the Showboats versus Stallions, I think. In the
USFL division?
Yeah, okay. In the playoffs.
And how about the XFL division?
XFL, probably the Brahmas and, what's another? That's a hard one, actually. Who's else in there?
They got the DC Defenders, as well
and
as the Battlehawks and...
The Battlehawks.
One other team I can't remember.
And the Renegades.
And the Renegades, yeah.
Yeah, the Battlehawks and the Brahmas.
That sounds pretty good. And who do you have winning it?
Let's see here. I think for playoffs, Stallions will go beat the Showboats, and then the Battlehawks will go beat the Brahmas.
Awesome.
And then I think the Stallions will probably win that.
That's a pretty good prediction. I like the Battlehawks. I also love the Birmingham Stallions, and that would be a good matchup for me. I would have a rooting interest for both of those teams. I would probably end up cheering for Birmingham, but I still like St. Louis. So either way, it's a win-win as far as that goes. I know they say the St. Louis Battlehawks they're drawing higher attendance than the St. Louis Rams did when they were there before they moved back to Los Angeles. Can you believe that? That's incredible. How do you like the new format of the UFL with taking four teams from the USFL and four from the XFL?
Okay. I'm not a big fan of it, and the reason why is why. I mean, just why? Because yeah, it's gonna be maybe 20 weeks. Football, that's good, and plus you'll have a bigger playoff format, which I think will be much better. But like you know how they have like the Houston Roughnecks, you know, you could probably move the Roughnecks back to the XFL division and then get the Houston Gamblers, on the New Jersey Generals, and the Philadelphia Stars, and the Pittsburgh Maulers, I think. Wait, that's four teams. No, I'll get rid of the Houston Gamblers and get the Tampa Bay Bandits for the XFL. The Sea Dragons, the Sea Dragons. So you got the Roughnecks back, the Sea Dragons, what are other teams? The New York Guardians, I think.
Well, the Orlando Guardians last time around.
Yeah.
And the Las Vegas Vipers were not popular at all.
Yeah, add all those teams back. So except the Game Wars, but that's probably mine. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. You mentioned the Houston Roughnecks. And it was weird because the Houston Gamblers were actually one of the USFL teams that was brought back into the fold for the UFL, but they took the Houston Roughnecks name and renamed the Gamblers the Roughnecks. So even though it's actually the Houston Gamblers players from last year, but it's the Houston Roughnecks name, which is kind of weird, but that's just the way they did it.
I'm calling the Roughnecks.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they chose the Roughnecks name. I think it's better. The name is better than the Gamblers, even though I like the Gamblers. I like, well, the uniform's better, the black and gray, or black and silver, whatever. But, you know, whatever. I think.
Oh, yeah, I got a question.
Yeah.
So, what's your favorite uniform in the league? You can only pick one.
Honestly, and I'm going to sound like a homer here, but I really do like the Birmingham Stallions because it's unique. Everyone, now, a lot of people look at that and might think, oh, well, that just looks like the, you know, the San Francisco 49ers or something like that. I'm not sure what this guy is doing. I think I'm gonna go around here. Okay, anyway, I'm not quite sure what that was all about. I apologize to my listeners. Somebody's been had a little too much to drink out here. I'm not sure. Anyway, I lost my train of thought there. The Birmingham Stallions have like a mustard yellow color with those red uniforms. I think it's a very unique look. So I like that. I think that's really the way to go. I didn't like it at first, but sort of grew on me. But it's like, you know, you have enough teams that are, you know, red and gold or whatever and gold, but that mustard color was very unique, and I like their home and their road uniforms. They put the colors together very well, better than most other teams in the league. I also, even though I don't like Michigan, the Michigan Panthers are very, you know, they've got that sort of gold and, was it burgundy or maroon and gold? That's pretty cool too. You know, these are interesting combinations. Those would be my two favorites, at least from the USFL side. The XFL side, I like the Battle Hawks. Once again, that's an, you know, I guess it's part of the reason why I like the team is because I like the logo. I like the uniforms. Although I think they'd look better if they were purple and silver instead of blue and silver, because that's kind of what, once again, you get a lot of teams that have blue and silver. But you don't really have anybody that has purple and silver, and that would be a really cool combination. Sort of like the old Kansas City the Kansas State Wildcats in college. They're purple and silver. So anyway, those would be my favorite uniforms. It's going to be an interesting season. You know, they're playing a 10-week season. And once again, 2 weeks of playoffs. You're going to have the semifinals and then the championship game. I really feel like the UFL is a... It's another opportunity right now. They had to combine the leagues, I think, out of need, based on necessity, because I think both the XFL and the USFL were losing money. And so I think that was something that they had to do. Now, the games are televised on Fox and ABC, and that's a good thing. So you've got more than one, you know, television network that is involved with that. Aside from that, I don't know what else to say here. I think that it's going to be a good season there. I agree with you about... I would like to see Birmingham, the Birmingham Stallions and the St. Louis Battlehawks in the championship game. I think there's a decent shot. The Battlehawks are 2-1 right now. The Stallions are 3-0. I think there's one other team that's undefeated, but I can't remember who it is.
The Brahmas. They got beat by someone.
That's right. The Brahmas lost to the Battlehawks. Actually, you're right. The Brahmas were 2-0, and they lost to the Battlehawks. So everybody else has at least one loss already, and this is only the third week of the season. So anyway, it looks like Birmingham's the best team from what I can tell. Offensively, they're very, very hard to stop. I mean, they looked really, really crisp this past Saturday night when they were playing at home. And that was their first home game, I think, of the season. They had beaten the Renegades on the road, and they beat someone else on the road in week two. The Panthers, that right. And you know what? Michigan, I think, is 2-1. So, and that was a relatively close game, too, in Michigan. Aside from that, I don't know if we want to cover anything other than that as far as sports goes. The NBA playoffs.
Which is overrated. And ain't the NFL draft coming soon? No one's probably going to be watching that.
Yeah, I think... I'm not going to watch the NFL draft. It's coming up in, I think, not this Thursday, but next Thursday from Detroit.
Caleb Williams. excuse me, I need my nail polish before I play. Oh, blue. funny too. Says hut.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'd be saying, why does it have to be blue? Why can't it be pink 42 or something? Look, I think we're in agreement in a lot. Most Bears fans, from what I've seen, are in agreement that they should have kept Justin Fields and they should have built around him and gotten an offense. Instead, they let him go. So they're going to go ahead and hit the reboot or the reset button again with Caleb Williams. They're going to throw crazy money at him as the number one overall pick.
No, Dad. Here's what happened. Blue. 42. I forget what nail polish. Pink says hut. That's not a touchdown, guys.
Yeah, exactly what you said. I don't think it's going to work out for him. If you recall, he won the Heisman 2 years ago. Last year he had a pretty good offense at USC, and they ended up finishing like 7-5 or something like that on the season. This is the guy that's supposed to turn around the Bears. The Bears offense that has been anemic forever. So anyway, I'm going to sound like a homer, but I'm thinking the Bears should have kept Justin Fields and then drafted Marvin Harrison Jr. He's probably going to be the highest, you know, wide receiver picked.
He's going to be my number four.
The fourth overall pick. So I don't know what the Bears are thinking. I'm thinking they're just going to reboot and the fans are just going to go ahead and go along with it and tell them, oh, well, it's going to take at least 5 years for us to get this thing going again. All right, you know what? You just keep on doing that and see how that works out for you. I would not be counting on any of that. But anyway, that's the plan right now. I don't know. Is there anything else to report? I know the NBA playoffs are coming. They're going to have the play-in game.
Well, I mean,
I don't know if you had any interest in that or not.
I guess watch the NBA, I guess, because it's better than the MLB. But, yeah, sorry I got a little bit too out there. But, I mean, yeah, the MLB is going to be very unwatchable. You know, like last year in the World Series, barely anyone watched it. I even saw the crowd during how I was talking about. I was watching the guy that was there. There was really not a lot of fans there, not going to lie.
Yeah, I don't think – I think the NBA has lost its luster. I think a lot of the professional leagues are not what they were. I've said this before. I think the golden era for me, the golden era of NBA basketball was really the mid to late 80s. I mean, you had – and I know the game has evolved and the players are, quote, more athletic and better conditioning and all stuff. But, look, as far as the amount of greatness that was on the court, I'm talking, you know, Michael Jordan – you know, Karl Malone, John Stockton, all this stuff.
I don't know if they're more zesty and more athletic, but I mean, Michael, shut up, Funk. But, like, Michael Jordan, for example, or Magic Johnson, Shaq, Kobe, here's the thing, I mean, the rims weren't as good back then. There was not a lot of, quote-unquote talent on the court, but there was like a lot of people who weren't as good, I guess, but then again though, Kobe was getting guarded by everyone. He was making faces with his eyes closed. Michael Jordan, huh? How did the key so good? Making free throws with his eyes closed. I know that maybe close to the end of their season, they're not as good, but when they're in their prime, you're done. I mean, if you had the whole 14 players of the Frankie's basketball team versus right now, maybe just 60-year-old Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan will still beat him. I'm not lying with that. He could probably still fly. I mean, let's be honest here.
Okay, you might be going a little bit too far with that. Now, I was obviously Shaq came around in the early 90s, then Kobe came out a little bit late, closer to, you know, 2000. But I would say really, you look at Dream Team 1, that was the epiphany. That was the culmination of all of this talent from the 80s. The Dream Team 1 in 1992, the team that swept through the Barcelona Olympics and destroyed everybody, Charles Barkley and, you know, once again, Jordan and Karl Malone and the rest of these guys, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. I mean, that team, I don't think you're ever going to be able to equal a team like that. I mean, that was so much greatness. But that was an epiphany. That was basically a combination of all these all-time greats. I would say the era of the 80s had, if you look at top 50 players of all time, you might get maybe 15 of those guys came out of the 1980s. I mean, that's how dominant the 80s were. I might even be inclined to put like Dominic Wilkins and some of these other, even Scottie Pippen potentially. You know, he's a top 50 player as well, supposedly.
More than that, actually. It'd be more like 25, actually.
I don't know. I don't know how far I'd go with that, but...
I'll count 90s. My bad. I mean, if I said 80s, I'd probably about 15. But 90s, yeah, if you get... Include, like the 20th generation or the 20th century, then, yeah, maybe.
Well, you know, you're also... I guess when you get the 90s... You're also including guys like David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon. Although Olajuwon, I think, started in the 80s, so you could almost throw you could throw Hakeem Olajuwon in there as well.
He was a beast. Oh yeah, you know what's his name? Dominique Wilkins, the short guy, and the short guy like a dunk.
No, that was actually Spud Webb.
Yeah, Spud Webb. Bro, if you're saying he's trash, I don't know if you're drinking too much Bud Light, or if you're on drugs, or if you're popping pills with a rapper from Chicago. But like, I mean, let's be honest here. Spud Webb, I mean, he was short, but he is very talented. Like, I mean, if you put him against maybe the top five best players from today, right now in the NBA, I feel like he still beat him. Well, I mean, probably not his age, but not his age right now. But back when he was in his prime, he absolutely destroyed Doom.
Well, interesting story. I saw this on, was it YouTube? You know, fairly recently, I think Spud Webb was walking around a gym, and these guys were talking smack to him, like, "Hey, what's going on, old man?" Something like that. And he's like, "I can still dunk this ball." I'm like, "No, you can't." And he was wearing a shirt and tie. Like, he was an executive-looking guy. I think he even had, like, regular, church shoes on. He takes a basketball, didn't even take a running start, jumped up in the air and dunked it on a 10-foot rim. We're talking about a guy that was 5'7". 5'7", and who knows? I don't even know how old he is right now. He's got to be, boy, he's got to be in his mid to late 50s, I'm thinking.
He's older than Jordan, I think, older.
Yeah, I mean, he's older than me. There's no doubt. Yeah, so you take a guy, though, that's 5'7", and he can still just jump up and dunk the ball at will. I mean, that's unreal. But you know, it was this different era. They're saying the centers back in the, the 80s and 90s, the centers were bigger. Nowadays, your star centers, they got that one guy for the Spurs. Well, not these guys are like stick figures. But I think a lot of it is they're playing Euro ball now, so it's not as physical as it used to be. You got, even the centers can shoot the ball.
Yeah. I'm the center. I am Victor Wembanyama, and I am an alien. I am so thin and tall that I could shoot like Kobe, even though that I remember I saw this meme on YouTube. There was this black guy who's like 7'1", and he says he plays on basketball. He was a former a Florida Gator, but he was like playing basketball on his mini hoop, and he kept shooting threes and stuff, and then he dressed up as like an agent and said, "Boy, stop shooting threes. You're not the you are not the shooter."
Well, I do think this. I think the game has evolved a little bit. Euro ball has a big influence. The big men have to be able to shoot the ball now too, and I think also that's why someone like Zach Edey, Purdue, the big player, I don't think he's going to go to the NBA because he's a senior. I thought he was a junior. He's a senior this year. So that tells me in a league where it's one and done, all you got to do is play 1 year of college. He played 4 years at Purdue probably because he knew he couldn't get to the NBA. I just don't see that style of play making it anymore. Yeah, he can toss guys around in the lane in college, but this is not – the NBA is not college, and I think you have to be more of a versatile guy. Someone like Draymond Green, he got his stuff together. He became the real deal because of the fact that he had to adapt to the league, and so now he's more versatile. He could play multiple positions.
And he could then you're right about him being in the media. He also loves kicking guys in the no-no square and also beating up his defenders. So this happened pretty recently. He choked out Steve Kerr, and they had to be separated.
Wow.
During practice.
Yeah, Draymond Green is a head case. I don't really care for the guy, but then again, I don't care for the Golden State Warriors as it is.
In general.
I think the league is at fault, majorly at fault, for letting him get away with so much stuff. And now they wonder, what's the problem? But they protected him because he was one of the star players on one of their elite teams, if not the elite team at that time. I think it was 2016 or so, when he kicked Steven Adams in the groin a couple, two different times, and the league did nothing about that.
This season, I think he stepped on Rudy Gobert. I think he stepped on his head, I think, and also choked him out.
Yeah, I heard he got involved in a fight, an altercation that wasn't even his fight, and he started, choking the one guy out.
Yeah, this is a bad player, Rudy Gobert, and guess what? Victor Wembanyama has more blocks than him now than the last year.
Yeah, I think just back to the whole idea about the league evolving. I think in order to be a successful big man now in the NBA. You got to almost have a mid-range jumper. You can't just be all big and I'm just going to knock the guys out of the lane. Even though I think the NBA is pretty soft on calling the three-second violation for guys that like to hang out in the paint all day, it's still, for the most part, I think they're still not letting the big men just do what they want. And I think the players are also bigger and more athletic, the power forwards and the small forwards. And it's just a different league now. You can't just beat them, with brute force anymore like you used to be able to. So yeah, that'll be different with that. Looking forward to see what happens. I believe that the Cleveland Cavaliers are, I think they're maybe going to get the fourth or fifth seed in the East. They're probably going to lose again in the first round of the playoffs.
And the Grizzlies, my Grizzlies are not in the playoffs. So yeah, and also I like John Morant, even though besides the gun issues, he just cannot stay healthy. I think if he would not have got injured a few games after, he probably would have gone at least maybe close to the playoffs. But like they traded after John Morant was back after his 25 games suspension, I think that guy, I forgot his name, but he was like Victor Wembanyama basically of the summer league, and he was a bench player, but he was good. He was a short guy, and he could dunk and stuff, and he was a big man, but he was like kind of short. And he was really good, but they traded him. And I was kind of mad. He plays on the, I think, Jazz now. But I was still kind of mad that they traded him. But he's a pretty good player. I forgot his name, though.
So there is some moving going on right now, some free agency. I think we're in agreement that the NBA is not really as exciting to watch as it used to be. So I'm resigned to the fact that the Cavaliers are probably going to lose in the first or second round of the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. They're also going to lose Donovan Mitchell, most likely. It's not like this offseason. So the Cavs can go back to being the Cavs. It'd be nice if they could get LeBron for 1 year or half a year to finish his career as a Cavalier.
That ain't happening. It's going to be his last year for sure.
I would even trade a first-round pick just to make that happen. I think the most important thing that I've said before is LeBron needs to go into the Hall of Fame as a Cleveland Cavalier. That would help the franchise. It would be a good thing for the franchise if he did. Is that going to happen? He's either going to be a Cavalier or a Laker. I don't think he's going to go into the Hall as a Miami Heat, even though he won two championships with the Heat and only one with the Lakers and one with the Cavs. But I don't know. If he wants to do right by his people in Northeastern Ohio and Akron, Ohio, where he grew up, he will go in the Hall as a Cleveland Cavalier. But I'm not convinced that will happen. But
he will, I think.
Lord willing, it will happen. But anyway, regardless, we're gonna have to head on out. We thank you. I thank you, Mr. Anonymous, for your time.
Thank you.
And for all of your feedback, your great sports knowledge and acumen, it is greatly appreciated. We will hopefully talk again within the next. Maybe next week or so. Until then, take care, God bless, and remember, Jesus Christ is Lord. Good day.